This is the Rich Dad Radio Show, the good news and bad news about money. Here's Robert Kiyosaki.
Hello, 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 Robert Kiyosaki, the Rich Dad Radio Show, the good news and bad news about money. And today we have a very, very special guest, but I think all of our guests are special, but this person is especially special because my definition of intelligence, if you agree with me, you're very intelligent. And everything I've listened to this guy saying, I'm going, man, he's intelligent. But he's also taken myself and Kim and our whole company to a whole nother depth of understanding of why the world is in such, I would say, dire straits right now. So our guest today is Andy Shechtman, and I'm going to recommend two different videos with Jay Martin. And Jay Martin's the VRIC, Vancouver Resources Investment Convention. And Jay does an excellent job of interviewing you, and our whole company has been tasked with listening to part one and part two three times each, because the amount of information packed into each one, everyone is different. So I'm going to recommend each of you do the same thing we're doing at Rich Dad, is listen to these two interviews with Andy Shechtman and Jay Martin three times at least, because each time you listen to it, you'll gain a whole nother insight as to what is going on in the world economy. Any comments about Kim? It's really been transformational to listen to.
It's been transformational. So, and Andy Shechtman, he's the president and founder of Miles Franklin Precious Metals, but has been in the financial industry since 1989. So he's got a lot of experience. But the cool thing for me is we've studied these videos as a company. And we discuss it and we are looking at all points of view. So for me, and what we're going to discuss today is Andy, what you did is I've heard all the pieces and they were floating out in space and all these different pieces, but you brought all the pieces together in the puzzle. And I thank you for that. And this is going to be an incredible interview, and I'm really grateful to have you on the program.
Right. So the first one I'm going to recommend is Jay Martin's with the BRICS, BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And the second one is more about what you can do today. So we're going to recommend Jay Martin's videos twice. We recommend two different videos. Recommend listen to it three times. So Andy, welcome to the Rich Dad Show.
Welcome, Andy. Oh, you guys, I'm so honored and grateful to be here. Flabbergasted, I guess you could say, would be maybe a halfway accurate adjective for the way that I have felt about the comments that you made. Just so grateful and appreciative to be here, and thank you for the kind words.
Oh, thank you. So can you just let's just stay macro, keep it super simple. That's my new book series coming out called KISS, Keep It Super Simple, because that's what we do. So could you explain why the BRICS, BRICS, so crucial to the future of the world?
Yeah, I think it is incredibly crucial. It is a coalition of what amounts to pretty darn close to 90% of human population that is coalescing under a common theme, and that is, I think, to undermine the dominance of the West and the Western hegemony, and to do it properly with commodity backing. But if you don't mind, I'll take you down a pathway that I think will help connect the dots. And because I think it's important, you know, as Kim said, that there's a term, I think, if I get this right, if I remember back from high school, in literature called the fallacy of composition, which you look at a whole bunch of individual pieces and in and of themselves, they don't have the significance that they do when they're all put together. And this is kind of what I started noticing really in 2017. And by 2019, I was convinced that I was on to something. And since then, in every YouTube that I have done, I have followed this thread. And what's interesting is that the thread keeps accelerating really to where we are today, where it's becoming painfully obvious, as far as I'm concerned, that this is the direction things are going. So, and you can interrupt me along the way if you have questions. But I'm going to take you down a path starting in 2017 and let yourself and your listeners decide for themselves if this is indeed correct, if I'm heading down the right path or not.
Let me just say, I think you nailed it so hard, and that's why there's two J. Martin videos, one and two. And my whole company has had to listen to part one three times because there's so much information in there, but the pieces take a while to assemble.
They do.
And then part two is, I've listened to it twice now, I'm going to listen to it the third time. And well, what you're doing is you're putting the whole puzzle together. So please listen to both videos. So keep going, Andy.
So yeah, and I think that it's in and of itself, the individual pieces that I will talk about may not resonate. And in the end, I'll put it all together. I'll try to attempt to put it all together. But, you know, I really noticed things starting to change in 2017, Robert and Kim. I noticed that, you know, out of nowhere, the German Bundesbank made a very big deal about repatriating their gold in 2017. Now, this was at the tail end of what had amounted to a six-year bear market in precious metals. And, you know, in 2017 in particular, it was a rough year to own a precious metals company. You had Bitcoin really taking off. You had the equity markets doing fantastic. And gold was languishing, and central banks were selling it. It didn't make any sense to me. Why would the central banks be selling gold? I guess, well, maybe because it's been in the midst of a downdraft, and there's this new thing called Bitcoin that's really starting to take off. And maybe we were just moving away from the old way of doing things, and we're moving into a new reality. And, well, the capitulation came to mind, and in 2017, six out of every 10 orders that we did were people selling. Most of them aggravated that Bitcoin, which was supposedly cut from the same cloth as gold, was accentuating itself. And why wasn't gold? So out of nowhere, the German Bundesbank, who had attempted to start repatriating their gold a year or two earlier from the Federal Reserve in New York, finally made a big deal about it publicly. And they said, hey, send us back all of our gold. Now, it's important to understand that really, since the end of World War II, the United States held most of the world's gold. And the reason, in a nutshell, that we did was that at the end of World War II, at Bretton Woods, when the dollar was anointed the world reserve currency, we made a promise to the world saying, hey, you can give us your gold because it's safe over here. You've gone through two world wars and it's safe over here. And I'll tell you what. We'll pay you $35 an ounce for your gold. And in turn, you take the proceeds of that and you buy our U.S. treasuries. And this will give you a return on a non-interest-bearing asset. And it will be held safely. And we will always sell it back to you for $35 an ounce. Now, it had been that way for a very long time. And as I get down this pathway, we'll get to that moment that you and I were talking about briefly offline here, where that all changed. So Germany says to the West, give us back our gold. And within a few weeks of that happening, the Bank of Austria, the Bank of Hungary, the Bank of Turkey, the Czech National Bank, the Dutch National Bank, all of these banks followed suit, said the same thing. Give us back our gold. And they said it not only to the New York Fed, but also to the Bank of England. We want to repatriate our gold. And this is really strange at this moment, because here we are in the midst of a downdraft in gold that is now going on 5-6 years, and the central banks are repatriating their gold.
Once again, this is 2017, so not that far away.
Okay. That's right, 2017. And now I'm my interest is peaked in the speeches that I'm giving, like at the Sprott conference. I would cite that, hey, something's going on here. The central banks are increasing their gold holdings quietly and repatriating them, even when gold isn't doing much. In 2018, the following year, you guys, gold was those same groups that repatriated their gold bought more gold as a group than they did in the 60 years combined previously. So now something's really going on. These banks are repatriating their gold from the Fed and the Bank of England, and now they're buying copious amounts of it. Really interesting. In 2019, those numbers were up nearly 100% in terms of central bank purchases. It's really ramping up. Central banks not only have repatriated their gold, but now they're they're really buying it. And, you know, it's still, this is perplexing until mile marker number one. Now, before I tell you mile marker number one, I'd like people watching this to ask themselves, how much of this do I really know? And ask yourselves, is the media that is supposedly telling us the truth really telling us what is important? Because I view some of the things I'm about to tell you as the most significant events, not only in my career, but ultimately in all of our lives. And I think maybe you'll understand what I'm getting at. Robert, you've seen this, and Kim, you've seen this, but for the sake of those who haven't, we'll start talking about these substantial, significant events that should really have been noticed by the public, but haven't. And I want people who are watching this to ask themselves, why? Why do I not know about this? Because they are very, very significant. Mile marker number one, 2019, after the banks have just massively accumulated for the past 2.5 years and repatriated all of their gold, you have to wonder, were they clued into what I'm about to tell you? The Bank of International Settlements, which is the central banker's central bank in Basel, Switzerland, in April of 2019, quietly reclassified gold as the world's only other tier one reserve asset. Now, since 1944, at the end of the war, there had only been one tier one asset recognized by the central banks, and that was U.S. dollars and treasuries. It's a riskless asset. And now, out of nowhere, they levy gold from tier three, where only 50% was valued on the balance sheet, to tier one, where it's as good as cash or equal to cash, very, very quietly. And it makes you wonder, were the other central banks clued in by the BIS that, hey, get your gold home and start accumulating it? I happen to believe the answer is yes to that question. So here we are in 2019. Things are really starting to get interesting.
Wait, if I may add something, please. That was also the year the repo market crashed. September 17th, 2019.
And that's when people started waking up to what was going on.
And absolutely. I'm going, what the heck is going on there? When the repo market crashes, the last time that happened was 2008. So absolutely. That's what I was watching.
Okay. Absolutely. And Zoltan Pozsar, one of my favorite commentators, who I guess I'd call the repo market expert, has been instrumental in a lot of my thinking, including calling where we are now Bretton Woods 3, which really fits in towards the end of what I'm going to talk about, a system dominated by commodities rather than by Western debt instruments. And that is where he says we are right now. He's the repo market expert. But yes, you can see, you know, my dad has this funny analogy for life. It's kind of like a roll of toilet paper. You don't notice it when it's spinning slowly, when it's a fresh roll, but over time, it starts faster, and you become more cognizant to the cardboard underneath. Well, that's kind of what's happening to me here in 2020. The roll is starting to spin faster, and I'm connecting these dots, the most significant of all the dots being the tier one asset, until we get a little bit further. So in 2020...
Wait, tell your dad I like his metaphor. It fits my mentality about toilet paper roll.
I will. So in 2020, we start to see some more things that I'm connecting the dots to, one of which is mile marker number two. Now, mile marker number two, again, ask yourselves, people, have you heard of this? And if not, ask yourselves, why? Am I watching the wrong stuff? Am I reading the wrong stuff? And I would answer, yes, you probably are if you haven't heard about this. Now, this, what I'm about to tell you about, started a few years before, but really started to gain steam in 2020. And I look at this as maybe the most significant event in most of our lives to this point. And that is the foundation of the Chinese Belt Road Rail Initiative. Most people I talk to have not a clue what that is. Oh. And it's incredibly impactful and incredibly significant on the West and the West's future, because what it is the most ambitious infrastructure project ever attempted in human history. It is connecting Asia and Africa, parts of Europe, and even parts of South America, the old Silk Road Plus, through maritime channels, bridges, railways, roads. And this infrastructure program will only be patrolled by military and commerce. It is the Panama Canal on steroids. But what people need to understand is just this particular little infrastructure represents over 75% of human population and 45% of GDP before, global GDP, even before it's industrialized. And I owe a debt of gratitude to your buddy, George Gammon, who woke me up to this. I'll never forget. I was living in Minnesota at the time where I spent first 50 years of my life in the middle of winter, 2020, going on a walk and blown away when he starts talking about this. And I remember him saying 75% of human population, 45% of GDP. And this, wow, this blew my mind. Start following it a little bit further and realize just how significant this really is. The contracts and the settlement on the new Belt Road is predominantly being settled in the new Chinese digital yuan. This is a very, very, very big deal because for the last 3 years, the digital yuan has successfully transacted upwards ends of $20 billion in trades and in settlements, even using it at the Winter Olympics. And I would like to call this a beta test. We'll get back to that as we get progressed. But really big deal where 75% of human population is beginning to be indoctrinated into a new currency, into a new settlement system. This ambitious infrastructure project is void of American participation and void of dollar settlement almost exclusively and entirely.
So can I keep it simple here?
Stop me anytime. Yes.
Yeah. This is like Marco Polo and the Silk Road. I mean, this is how significant this is what Marco Polo did. I guess he traveled from Italy all the way to China, and then he started connecting the dots. Well, the Belt and Road or this project that the Chinese are undertaking using their CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency, an asset-backed digital, is going to make 75% of the world population switch to Chinese.
That's right. And wait till I get to what's happened with it here when I get to 2022. It's more significant. Some of these things I didn't talk about on Jay's show because of time constraints, but you'll see when we get to 2022, it's becoming right in your face obvious if you are looking. So you're right, and this is a big deal, and this is the beginning of the infrastructure, the external and internal infrastructure that is, I think, laying a foundation for massive de-dollarization. But we'll get there in a moment. Further things start to happen in 2020 that really start to make me say, hey, I'm on to something here, no question about it. Now, I'm blasting this out on every single interview I do, 3-4 a week, every one of them. And they're out there for posterity's sake. People can go back and see that I'm not just coming up with this. I have been following this like a bloodhound on the scent of something significant for a few years now. So out of nowhere, the International Monetary Fund, well, this is a group of nearly 200 countries that was established at Bretton Woods, says to the world, hey, we want a new Bretton Woods. Well, what does that mean? That means that 200 countries from around the world want a new standard that isn't what the original Bretton Woods standard is, which is the U.S. dollar is the world reserve currency. Said right on their website, we're requesting a new Bretton Woods moment, whatever the heck that means. But that really started to make me think, geez, you know, this is bigger than even I had thought. When you have 200 countries from around the world on top of the Belt Road Initiative, on top of gold being reclassified Tier 1, on top of all the central banks repatriating their gold, now the IMF wants a new standard. So now I'm convinced something's going on. And then it gets even a little bit deeper than that. Now, of course, in 2020, the central banks are still massively accumulating gold. I mean, copiously accumulating it, especially Russia and China and India and the members of the BRICS. The RICS in BRICS are the big ones, you know, Russia, China, India, South Africa. But they're continuing to buy it. But then we see something on the COMEX market, the commodity exchange here in the United States, that came out of nowhere. And without getting too deep, let's just say that every week the COMEX market, the commodity exchange, publishes a report. And that report is called the Commitment of Traders Report. And the Commitment of Traders Report that I have been following my whole career shows the positioning, long or short, of the largest traders on the exchange. And typically, it's only been commercial banks, speculators, which are the hedge funds. And if one goes long, the other goes short, and vice versa. It's a zero-sum game, so to speak, where the managed money speculating hedge funds will go long, the commercial banks will go short, and vice versa. And that's all that was ever on the Commitment of Traders report until 2020. Out of nowhere, there is a new list of reportables on the Commitment of Traders called the Others. What the heck are the Others? They're family offices and sovereign wealth funds. Wait. I would call them the most informed, well-funded private traders on the planet.
So please, what he just said, it's family offices and sovereign wealth funds. See, what Kim and I run is a family office. We're not on the stock exchange. We're not anything like that. We're a privately owned family office that does our own trading for us. That is a major shift, and it goes to sovereign wealth funds, which is getting away from the big banks and all this.
100%. And most of the trading these folks would do on the COMEX was done on something called the Globex, which is, it gives them a little bit more privacy and anonymity. So no one really knows who the heck they are. But what they did in 2020 was now following part and parcel with what the central banks were doing. They were taking metal off of the exchanges. Now, to this point in my career, less than 1% of COMEX contracts ever stood for delivery. The COMEX was originally built to offset risk, where if I own 1,000 ounces of gold in my warehouse, I'll sell 1,000 ounces on paper on COMEX. So if the price in my warehouse drops by $100, I'm not down $100,000 because what I sold short on COMEX goes up commensurate. It allows me to offset my risk, to be market neutral, or a farmer who plants a field of grain in April can sell the future production to the baker in October to make bread. He wants the wheat. The farmer doesn't have to go the whole growing season with the uncertainty of the weather and the crop and all that stuff. It's just a way to offset risk by people who deal in commodities. Well, it's turned into a casino for sure. But what happened in 2020 was this group, the Others, started to drain the market, the COMEX market, of physical supply. When no one ever took possession, they took off in 1 year in 2020 more silver than we've seen in a typical decade being removed. Jeez. And more gold that year than the Bank of Japan has in its official holdings. So now you have the most private, the most well-funded, well-informed private investors doing the exact same thing that the commercial banks and the central banks have been doing, and that is massively accumulating metal and taking possession of it.
And that was my question. And they're taking possession. They're not just buying it. They're taking possession. Okay.
Right. Yeah, so when we get to 2022, we'll see just how much they're really doing. I'm sorry, Robert.
But now this is the point where Kim and I take possession. We don't leave it in those fake ETFs and stuff.
Or on the COMEX exchange in 1,000-ounce silver bars or 100-ounce gold bars.
Yep.
And I think that's a big deal. Doug Casey has always made, he has a lot of one-liners and comments that I've always got a lot out of. One of them is that gold and silver are the only assets on the planet that are not simultaneously someone else's liability. So in a world where counterparty risk could become accentuated or come into play, the removal of counterparty risk by taking possession of this metal is very illuminating. So here we are in 2020, and all of a sudden now, you see all of these things that are happening. The IMF asking for a new system, gold being reclassified tier one, the central banks repatriating their gold. All of these things are happening. The banks copiously buying gold, and nobody knows about any of it. 2021 comes around, and we see Russia and Turkey and India and Poland and China and Kazakhstan and Hungary and Thailand and Japan and Brazil and the Czech Republic and Turkey. They're all buying gold. No one's talking about it. Why? I don't get it. I mean, you got half of the world's central banks copiously accumulating gold, and nobody is talking about it.
Fox
News. Where is it? Sorry?
Please, what Andy's saying, they're not just buying it. They're taking delivery of it. Right. And that is a very, 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 very big difference. So we come back. I want to make sure, because we need to take a break. But we have some incredible markers, like what happened when the BIS, Bank of International Settlements out of Basel, elevated gold to a tier one. And most people have never heard about that. And we're going to go into more and more of this, but it's now that people are taking physical delivery of it and their family offices and sovereign wealth funds. And what Andy says, these are the smartest guys on earth, not the banks. So we come back, we'll be continuing with Andy Shechtman. Welcome back, Robert Kiyosaki, the Rich Dad Radio Show. And once again, I think this is the most important. All the shows are important, but none more important than this, because our guest today is Andy Shechtman. He's president and founder of Miles Franklin Precious Metals. And my definition of intelligence, if you agree with me, you're intelligent. And he's one of the first people that agree with me 100% all the way. But I want to tell a joke before I go on. He's talking about the difference between buying what I call fake gold, and fake gold's an ETF, like what Tony Robbins and all those guys promote. I don't like fake. I like real. I don't want paper. I don't want futures contracts. I want the real stuff. So we take delivery of it. Now, what we don't tell people is where do we deliver it to? And the reason for that, Andy, I was at this conference. This guy stood up. Of course, he's an attorney because, you know, they're not the brightest guys on earth. He stands up there and says, yeah, I take delivery of all my gold and I keep it at my house. And this other guy stood up and said to him, well, why don't you just give us your address so we can steal it from you, you idiot. So I want to let you know, when you take delivery, it doesn't mean keep it at your house. You've got to find somebody else. Is that correct, Kim?
That's definitely correct. I don't want anybody knocking at my door. But I'm excited, Andy, to continue on with this timeline, because you've already given us that. You know, I never knew that in 2017 or 2019 that the BIS made gold tier one. I never knew that until I watched your video. I heard about the Chinese Belt and Road, but I didn't realize the impact that it had. So then these are just two, and I know you've got a lot more. So let's keep going.
We're up to 20. Yep. Great. Absolutely. And you're right. The reclassification gold tier one is huge. You know, just to touch on that for 1 second, everyone in my industry always thought that if anything ever rose to the level of dollar prominence, it would be something like a special drawing rights from the IMF. And the question is, why did they make gold tier one? I want people to keep that in the back of their mind. Why is gold tier one? Maybe it makes a little more sense why the central banks are accumulating and taking possession of the gold, because of its riskless elevated tier one status. So anyways, 2021 comes around, and now I'm going to go back to what we talked about with the dollar being the world reserve currency. So the dollar was backed by gold as far as governments were concerned. We promise that any of the gold that we're holding for you, you can exchange your dollars, or even just the dollars that you own, you can exchange them for gold at a fixed rate of $35 whenever you want. So now we're going to get something a little closer to you, Robert, and that was towards the end of the Vietnam War. I've heard a lot of your podcasts where you talk about your experiences there. And in the end, towards the end of the Vietnam War, President de Gaulle from France realized that we were issuing more dollars in treasuries to fund the war than we had gold backing these promises. So he sent warships filled with dollars to New York Harbor and said to, you know, President Nixon, we want our gold back for these dollars. And we gave it to him, and he bled down a very large portion of the gold held at the U.S. Treasury. And that at that moment, Nixon said, okay, August of 1971, that's it. The window's closed temporarily, although it's never opened back up. So it's been a long temporary. But we went back on our promise to the world. And it was at that moment that the dollar was backed by nothing. And so the question that I ask the people out there, and it's amazing how few people know the answer to this question, is what has made the dollar the world reserve currency ever since? And you get a myriad of answers, usually centered around our military, or we have the biggest and most robust economy, or whatever. And I guess you could argue some of that is true. But what has made the dollar the world reserve currency was that 3 years later, Henry Kissinger was dispatched to Saudi Arabia. And he made a promise to the Saudis. He said, how about this? We will back you. Well, let's call it a joint military cooperation agreement. And we will stand behind you. We'll provide you munitions and support. No one will ever mess with the Saudi kingdom. But for that, OPEC is going to value dollar or oil in dollars globally. Okay, they said, fine. And so since 1974, every single country on the planet has had to own, virtually every country has had to own dollars in order to buy oil. And it has created this synthetic demand for the dollar called the petrodollar and made the dollar the world reserve currency. If you want to power your country, you must own dollars. It is the protection of the Saudi kingdom and by default, the relationship with OPEC that has enabled the dollar to be the world reserve since 1974, because 3 years prior, the link to gold was severed. The dollar was at that point fiat, backed by nothing. And obviously, we all know the history. Since that point, the dollar's lost over 90% of its value. But that's for a discussion for a different day. And so,
and that's why Mao was saying, that's why I say savers are losers. Why would you save dollars when inflation's running at about 16%? They reported it at 8%, but it's really at 16%. So you're going negative 16% on your money? Why would you save dollars? But these idiots, oh, you got to save money, get out of debt. I'm going, wait a minute, the dollar is created via debt. Don't you get that? And the only way they pay it back is via your taxes. Idiot, can't you get that? And so that's how the Rich Dad Company was founded, Andy. And I'm not the most popular guy with Wall Street right now. But anyway, I'm glad you're saying what you're saying. One more thing is what happened in 1974 was ERISA was passed. ERISA's Income Retirement Security Exchange, something like 401k, IRAs. Also in 1974, the gold became legal for Americans to own. So 74 was a very big year. So I had all this gold I was smuggling in from Hong Kong. I could now own it legally. And then exactly as I said, Kissinger promises the Saudis will protect you as long as everybody in the world must buy oil in dollars. So it became the petrodollar, no longer a gold-backed dollar. Am I correct on that?
100%. Exactly. And that's perfect. That's exactly right. And then comes mile marker number 3. And no one knows this. And
I know.
It just absolutely baffles me that nobody knows this one. And I would say this marker is way more significant probably than the two preceding. And the fact that our media doesn't say anything about it, I find it to be deplorable. And, you know, I guess when you realize that every newspaper, radio station, television station, magazine in the United States is owned by four companies, there is no fair imbalance. There is no, we're being fed the wrong information, because this next moment, I think, sets the stage for everything that's going to happen in this country moving forward. And that is what happened the day that we left Afghanistan. Now, I don't have to tell you, as being a former a Marine, that what happened when we left Afghanistan, to me as an American patriot, and I am a patriot, and I love this country, and I feel blessed to be here and for the opportunities this country has afforded me and my family. And look, we come from nothing. When we started this company, we come from nothing. My father's middle name is Miles. His best friend's middle name is Franklin. We borrowed $60,000 from his friend to start a company, and we just eclipsed $7 billion in sales. We are the American dream. I love this country. But I will tell you that as an American patriot, I was embarrassed to almost call myself an American the day we left Afghanistan, leaving behind enemy lines, something that was something we never would have done in the country I grew up in. You would never leave servicemen and women behind enemy lines. You would never leave the people who trusted you with their lives, the freedom fighters, behind enemy lines and give their biometrics to the Taliban. And I think there is no coincidence to the announcement of this mile marker number 3, because we embarrassed ourselves on a massive scale with people hanging from a transport plane as the last plane out of Afghanistan is going, knowing we have Americans that are still there today. It's inexcusable and it's deplorable. And I think it in many ways changed the way the world looks at the United States, or at least our leadership, shall we say. And there's no coincidence to the timing of this massive announcement. Now, once again, what makes the dollar world reserve? Oh, yeah, it's the protection of the Saudi kingdom. What happened the day after we left Afghanistan? Russia and Saudi Arabia announced a joint military cooperation agreement. What? Are you kidding me? What? Russia? is not protecting Saudi Arabia. And the day after that, guess who did it again? Nigeria makes the same announcement that Nigeria and Russia are now Russia is protecting Nigeria through a joint military cooperation agreement. They're maybe the fifth or sixth largest OPEC producing country, and we know what Saudi Arabia is. Subsequently, we've already seen that Nigeria is selling their oil to China right now for yuan denominated bond that is immediately convertible into gold on the Shanghai Gold Exchange. It's called the Petro Yuan Bond. And because it is immediately convertible into gold on the Shanghai Gold Exchange, this is how countries like Iran sidestep our sanctions. They'll sell their oil to the China, to the Chinese in the Petro Yuan Bond, and they can immediately convert it to gold on the Shanghai Gold Exchange into kilo bars and take possession of it. This is why the Shanghai Gold Exchange has delivered close to 100 times more gold than we have, the COMEX, which sets the price, because these countries are doing just that. And guess who else is doing it? Saudi Arabia. So you have the linchpin of the dollar hegemony, the Saudis, and now Nigeria, two of the 13 OPEC member countries, selling their oil already to China, both being protected by Russia. Nigeria, part of the Belt Road Initiative, being protected by China, they're selling their oil in something other than dollars. This is a huge deal. Of course, we're not talking about it, but it is a massive deal. Massive.
So let me remind people, okay, Jay Martin from the VRIC, Vancouver Real Estate Investment Conference, interviews Andy Shechtman in two parts. Part one is on the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. If you read my books, I've been covering these guys for a long time, watching them, because I travel throughout the world. I've seen what the Chinese are doing all over Africa. I cannot believe they have whole compounds, you know, of Chinese people. I was in Cameroon, and they have these huge trenching machines dropping fiber optic cable all the way across Africa. And what are we doing? Nothing. We have Kamala Harris not even going to the frickin' border, and she's the border czar. I mean, oh my God. And then when Andy talked to about how when they abandoned Afghanistan, you forget that I was there in Vietnam when they abandoned us in 1975. And I still remember, Andy, I'm walking through the village. This is before we declared we quit, you know, before we quit Vietnam. I was watching the Vietnamese scurrying around. I said, now they were buying gold leaf. You know that gold leaf they rub on stuff? They were buying gold leaf like crazy. I'm going, and Americans, as I write about, we don't know what gold is because it was illegal for us to own gold. So I'm watching these Vietnamese buy all this gold leaf. And I asked my staff sergeant, his name was Jackson. He was one of the smartest guys I met. I say, Jack, why are they buying gold? He says, they're going to run. They know Americans abandon us. They're going to run. They're going to get out of this country as fast as they can. And during my era, that was the Vietnamese boat people and all that. They were climbing on. They were ready to get out of that country. And then one of the more famous pictures is the picture of a CIA Air America helicopter on top of the U.S. embassy. And all these Vietnamese people are running up there, and they're punching them, trying to keep them out of there. And then they have us on our aircraft carriers, and we're dumping our helicopters over the side because they've got too many of the Vietnamese helicopters running. They were flying to our carriers. And I was out there watching all this stuff going, holy mackerel. And then in 74, exactly as you said, you know, that's when the ERISA came out, the 401k, and going, what the heck is going on? And the petrol dollar, and then they say, oh, by the way, you can now own gold legally. I'm going, so I've been watching all this. So when your podcast came out with Jay Martin, I'm recommending everybody listen to it three times, because what you're saying is a massive condensation. What did you call it when all the pieces finally come together? That's what you've done.
Composition. Yep.
What's it called again?
Fallacy of composition.
Yeah, what you've done in these two Jay Martin podcasts, I mean, everybody listen to them three times. Because it's like taking concentrated knowledge in a drop.
You're very
and it takes a while to absorb.
You really are very kind, honestly, and I appreciate it very much. And look, I'm no genius. I'm just someone who caught on early to the scent and has followed it. And as we go through where we are now in 2022 and we get to Klaus Schwab I'm going to try to put the pieces together and let you make up your minds for yourself. Am I on to the right thing, or am I being led astray? I'll let you make the decision for yourself. But
Carl Schwab is the World Economic Forum, formed in 1971 also. Interesting, right. Isn't it?
It is. A lot of these pieces, I think, have been in play for a very long time, evidently. And even when you talk about some of the things that you saw in the past, you can add them to a progression of events where, you know, they take a long time to play out. But I do think as we see what's happening here in 2022, it is speeding up. So
it's a toilet paper metaphor. And the reason, yes, I like that metaphor,
it's starting to spin a lot. You can see
you can see the cardboard. But what's the first thing that people stock up on? Toilet paper.
Continue, Andy. Go on with the timeline.
Thank you. So 2022 rolls along. Here we are. And I think you could say the mile marker number 4 is one that most people know about. But it's one that I think has incentivized the speeding up, if you will, of this progression of events. And I'm going to lay out several of them that have happened here this year alone. But, you know, as the world reserve currency, you guys, it's not our job to say who can and can't use it. And that's the biggest mistake you can possibly make. And as the world reserve currency, if you weaponize it the way we did against Russia, you are asking for trouble. And I think the question that I pose to people, and now I'm going to take a step off this for a moment, and I'm going to ask you to think about this. Was it intended or was it unintended? What I mean by that, are the consequences intended or unintended? Why do I say that? I say that because our Fed chairman, Powell, I believe has no intention of being written about in history books as blowing up the American dream. Because in the last 3 years, more money has been created in the last 3 years than in the entire history of the country before. The majority of that money that has been created, or a good portion of it, went into assets where hedge funds can borrow $1 billion at 1%, plow it into equities, plow it into real estate, plow it into cryptocurrencies, make a fortune, pay off the loan with no problem at all, make huge bonuses. And what we've seen over the last 3 years is a massive distortion in asset prices. You could call this the crack-up boom in Austrian economics, where massive expansion in credit and lowered interest rates create distortions and misallocations of capital and resources where price discovery is next to impossible. Houses are doubling or tripling in a year. Equity portfolios the same. Cryptocurrencies up 10 times. You've been in finance longer than I have, and you know that's not how markets work. They don't go parabolic like this. And I think a lot of it has to do with the distortions and the misallocations that were created through massive money printing. So I think Fed Chairman Powell has no intention of blowing up the system and getting tough on inflation. The National Bureau of Economic Research came out with a report not too long ago and said that the 9.1% inflation that was listed in July of this year would have been 16.5% if calculated it the way that they used to in 1980. Like you said, John Williams of Shadow Stats, a legend in this industry, all he does is show the numbers the way that the Fed and the Bureau of Labor Statistics used to calculate numbers. But even if we believe the 9%, by the way, that CPI excludes food, energy, and housing, right? So they pulled out the things that we need that are inflating to give us this now 8.5%. So he says he's getting tough on inflation and raising it to 2.25%, maybe to 3.25% at the next meeting. What good does that do against 8.5% inflation, which we know is probably closer to 17%? What getting tough on inflation is what Paul Volcker did under the same situation, only when they calculated inflation truthfully.
Right.
Inflation at 16 or 17%, what did he do? He raised the federal funds rate to 19.75%, blew up the economy and blew up inflation. Powell, on the other hand, getting tough on inflation, he's pussyfooting. He raised it to 2.25% with 9% inflation. That's a negative 7% plus real return, negative. That's not getting tough on inflation. And what is so unusual about the environment we find ourselves in? Stocks, bonds, and real estate at all-time highs are what? Inversely correlated to a rise in interest rates.
Right.
So if he raises rates, he knows it's a religious experience in this country for everyone who considers themselves wealthy in traditional assets. This is why they're pussyfooting and raising the rates just little by little. This is why the quantitative tightening that they were talking about hasn't happened. They were going to do $80 billion a month in treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. I think to date, over the last 4 months, they've only done $50, $60 billion off their balance sheet. They're not selling off their balance sheet, and they are, in fact, not raising rates, getting tough on inflation. They're not, right? Because he doesn't want to be written about in books. So I ask you, as I go on to mile marker number four, were the consequences of this action intended or not? And I want you to think of what Klaus Schwab said in 2019, that there'll be a great reset, that you'll own nothing, and you'll be happy to rent. Now, when he said that, I thought he was an idiot. But when we get to the end of what I'm talking about here in 2022, we're going to reflect upon that. And so I don't think that he's going to do it. He's not going to get tough on inflation. But how about we create a villain? Because, you know, our president is already telling us that inflation has nothing to do with historic money creation and everything to do with Putin, right? Well, inflation is always 100% of the time a monetary event, always. And when you throw in unproductivity in the equation, it exacerbates the effects of inflation. And that sounds like the last 3 years. Massive money creation, paying everyone to sit on their couch, play video games, and eat bonbons. So you have more money chasing less stuff because no one's producing anything. They're sitting on their couch. So that's the cause of inflation. It has nothing to do with Putin. It has everything to do with the Federal Reserve that has blown up, and a government that has blown up our money supply and incentivized people to be unproductive. There's your inflation. But what about the big picture? What about this reset? What about getting tough? Well, if the Fed doesn't want to be the reason for blowing everything up and creating the greatest depression of all time, how about we create a villain? And, you know, I think that the people who are running the ship, they may be nefarious, but they're not stupid. They may be immoral, but they're not idiotic. And if you push the Russians out of SWIFT, if you sanction them, if you freeze their assets here in the States, you have every other country in this group, the BRICS, saying, are we next? Is it coming for us next? You think there's any coincidence that China has sold well over $100 billion in treasuries over the last 7 months? They have their eyes set on Taiwan. I think we push the Russians right into the open arms of the Chinese and their CIPS system, the cross-interbank payment system. That is what the SWIFT is. It mirrors the SWIFT. It is their answer to the SWIFT. We push them right into the open arms of this coalesced group. So let's talk about what has happened and think about this. Did they absolutely have no idea that by freezing these assets and sanctioning them, that it wouldn't have severe consequences? I say to people all the time, imagine that the United States is Russia and that Mexico is the Ukraine, and we're in a war with the Ukraine, and Russia freezes us out of SWIFT, sanctions us, takes all of our assets, gives $90 billion to Mexico, provides them with Stinger missiles and drones and the intelligence of where to drop the bombs. Is that not a declaration of war? Sure as hell seems like it to me. But if you don't think that this is going to have profound impact globally, then you're a flipping moron. And I want to say, in the back of my mind, I can't help but shake that this was an intended exercise on creating a villain and maybe getting this great reset that we're talking about. So let me just take it a little further. So far in 2022, and by the way, those sanctions, which have done absolutely nothing, keep in mind that 85% of global population, including China, India, Africa, and South America, are still trading with Russia, right? So those sanctions didn't do anything. In fact, all it did was coalesce this mantra of Western hypocrisy and dominance needs to come to an end. Now, I'm not saying that this is my feeling, but I can see pretty easily why they would feel that way. So let's look and see what's happened as the toilet paper roll is spinning. Now, what's happened so far in 2022? It'll blow you away. First of all, as I mentioned, Nigeria and Saudi Arabia are selling their oil to China for the yuan-denominated petro-yuan bond, which is immediately convertible into gold
at
the Shanghai Gold Exchange. You have the Russian-Iran-India corridor that just came out. This is linking Northwest Russia to the Persian Gulf via the Caspian Sea in Iran. Everyone else has to go all the way around, but the countries who are in the group get to cut through, right? You have Turkey, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia announce that they are contemplating joining the BRICS nations. Now, if you say publicly you're contemplating, it's a done deal. These countries are moving away from the Western alliances and they are joining the BRICS. And Saudi Arabia. Did I mention Saudi Arabia? Yes, Saudi Arabia is joining the BRICS nations. You had Turkey come out and say they want to ditch the dollar for payments in Russian energy. And they've purchased 75 tons more gold in the first 7 months of the year than any central bank on the planet. They are the largest accumulators of gold. Turkey, who just said they're going to join the BRICS nations and wants to ditch the dollar for Russian energy, they are leading the way in 2022. On gold purchases. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, the thing I want to say is that I want to endorse Jay Martin's interview with you. It comes in two parts. It's because you have so much information packed, and I'll restate it. Please, Sarah will get you a link to it. But everybody in our company has listened to your first one three times. I've listened to your second one twice now, and they're both fit together. And I highly recommend people listen to it. I mean, I'll send you a copy of my book here. It's called The Capitalist Manifesto. We were warned of this years and years and years and years and years ago. You know, that's like Orwell said, if you can't win the argument, change the story. And that's what Biden is doing. He's just changing the story. We're getting our asses handed to us. The toilet paper roll is showing. And people are still wondering, well, should I buy more real estate? Should I buy more gold? Should I buy more? Well, you better find out your own answers pretty quickly. Final words, Kim, because this is profound.
So Andy, you got Saudi Arabia, if they join BRICS, how does this whole thing play out?
Sure. So I got about two more minutes and I'll connect the dots for you. So as I mentioned, China's dumped $100 billion in bonds plus in the last 7 months. You have now 147 countries on the Belt Road, including all of the 13 OPEC countries. All of them are on the Belt Road Initiative. Six of the 13 BRICS nations, or six of the 13 OPEC countries have already joined BRICS or are in process of joining. The seventh, United Arab Emirates, just joined the BRICS Bank. And now you have Russia and China standing arm in arm on a stage a month ago saying they are announcing a new world reserve currency. At the same time, you have gold leaving the COMEX market at the fastest monthly rate ever. You have silver, on the other hand, being massively drawn down through the London Metals Exchange to the smallest amount ever in recorded, ever since they have started keeping track of the amount of silver on the LME, and you have over 100 million ounces of silver taken out of SLV by the authorized participants. So you see massive accumulation of gold and silver off the exchanges taking possession. So let's put all of this together, right? So what does it all mean when put together? And let's think about the Great Reset. How do you get a Great Reset? Well, first, you blow up asset prices to all-time highs. And then at the lowest interest rates in human history. And then you incentivize the world to find a back door because you watch what just happened to the Russians, who 85% of the world is saying, well, you're still okay to trade with because they don't like the way the West has handled things. So they're all coalescing in this nation, 147 countries on the Belt Road. All of these countries in the BRICS nations, which amount to 90% of human population, all of this together. And think of the fallacy of composition. All of these countries, one by one, can't stand up to the U.S. You put them all together and they will dominate the U.S. So how does it all blow up? Why do you own gold and silver? Why? Remember, gold was classified the only tier one asset in the world next to U.S. dollars. Remember, the biggest money in the world, the central banks, the commercial banks, the sovereign wealth funds, the family offices, they're all buying it. They're all taking it off the exchanges, removing counterparty risk. You can see the drawdown from all of the major exchanges. How does this all blow up? Simple. Saudi Arabia joins the BRICS nations. So every OPEC producing country, all 13 of them are on the Belt Road. They all sit on a stage with their arms around each other on a Sunday night here in the States, Monday morning somewhere in China or in Russia or wherever this meeting is, and Saudi Arabia says, hey, U.S., thank you. It's been a hell of a ride. We appreciate it. As you know, we are being now protected by China and Russia. In fact, we struck a joint military cooperation agreement the day you idiots pulled out of Afghanistan the way you did. And we realized that maybe you weren't the best partners to tie our wagon to. You know, you sent over President Biden to beg for oil. He didn't beg for oil. He hasn't even gone to Mexico or the Texas-Mexico border. He came and asked us to not join the BRICS nations. But we've decided after contemplation that, hey, you know what? It's in our best interest and all of OPEC, who was on the Belt Road, that we're going to open up energy purchases in other currencies, including the yuan, the rupee, the ruble, maybe euro, gold, and dollars. Like that, it's over. Because what happens? Every country on the planet who has had to own dollars since 1974 dumps them. And if you ever saw the movie Trading Places, where one Duke brother says to the other Duke brother, sell, Mortimer, sell, sell, because everyone will start dumping dollars. As the dollar collapses, that's pillar number one. The dollar value collapses. What happens when those dollars collapse and hit the U.S. shores? Hyperinflation. What happens as an adverse reaction of hyperinflation? Interest rates spike. You have to have higher interest rates to compensate for the loss of purchasing power. There's your villain. There is now, was it intended? Did they know this would happen? When everyone dumps dollars and Saudi Arabia and OPEC say, thanks for the memories, folks, and everyone dumps dollars and interest rates spike, stocks, bonds, real estate at the same time collapse along with the dollar. The four pillars of wealth in this country, stocks, bonds, dollars, and real estate, will all collapse as interest rates spike and as the dollar is globally dumped. And this is your great reset. This is how fragile the system truly is. And this is why you own precious metals. It is not to get riches, because we are on the cusp, I believe, of a change. Now, one last piece that I'd like to add to it. Remember we talked about 75% of human population understanding on the Belt Road this new digital yuan? Well, what is the digital yuan? To me, it is a beta test. Just the other day, and I'm almost done here, just the other day, there was an article that came out by a man named Sergei Glazyev, and he is the Russian minister in charge of integration and macroeconomics for the Eurasian Economic Union. And he came out and he laid the fundamental principles by which the new U.S. post-economic, post-dollar economic system will be based. And he goes on and says, and I quote, that it will not be based upon any particular currency as with the Bretton Woods order, but rather a market basket of local currencies tied more deeply to an array of real commodities such as gold, other precious metals, grain, hydrocarbons, sugar, etc. So think about the Chinese digital yuan. What better way to roll out a distributed ledger technology where you can show the world the veracity of everything that all of these countries have pegged? Why does the European Union not work? In theory, because there's nothing pegged to it, and each country is moving in different directions. But how about all of these countries coalescing, not only against the maybe hatred's a strong word, but the universal dislike of the Western hegemony, so much so that we're seeing relationships being mended between Iraq and Iran, where they're building a railway between Iran and Saudi Arabia. They're mending fences between countries who have hated each other for years. But you know the old statement, my enemy's enemy is my friend. They are all coalescing against a central theme. But that's not enough. We need to peg something. What are all the countries that own all the commodities? The BRICS. And all of the countries that are joining the BRICS own all the commodities. So what better way to roll out distributed ledger technology but to show the pegging of all of the commodities pledged to the new BRICS currency, which they just announced is coming out? Why is gold tier one? You tell me. Did they know that this was going to happen? The inevitability and the mathematics of the dollar's demise? Is it going to be the central peg to a new world reserve currency? What better way to show the immutability and the veracity of this pegging but on a distributed ledger Chinese digital yuan, which I believe will be the rails to a new system, the rails to the new BRICS system, through the Nick Bricks currency. And when that happens, God help us in this country, because no one, nobody is going to on faulty promises and debt when they can own a currency backed upon nothing but commodities with the veracity and the mutability of said backing shown on a distributed ledger for the entire world to see.
Well, Andy, thank you very much. I mean, again, the definition of intelligence, your intelligence, we're going to send out both connections through Jay Martin's interview because they're both very different, important to understand it. But yeah, I've been saying this for a long time, that who's told my pension? I think the biggest tragedy in 74 was also the ERISA or the 401k. And when the stock market crashes and the housing prices crash, the boomers are toast. And they've had the easiest life. The boomers have had the easiest. So what you're saying here is not pleasant for most people. But we at Rich Dad have been saying that for a while, is that this here is Rich Dad's prophecy. This is why the biggest stock market crash in history is still coming. It's now here. That came out in 2013, this book here. And it followed 2008. And I knew they hadn't fixed the problem. They made it worse. So I thank you for adding, definition of intelligence. You're very intelligent. I agree 100%. Final words, Kim, for Andy.
Do you have a website or a place where people can come and learn more from you?
Yeah, so our new website is about 2 weeks from launching. We have a website. We, as I mentioned at the onset, we've done all of this without allowing our entire history of our company. We've done it analog in a digital world. We have not allowed online purchasing. Our website right now is kind of a placeholder, I guess you could say, for our new website that's coming out in a few weeks that will allow online purchasing. It is milesfranklin.com. And I'm going to make an offer to anyone who's watching this video who would like to receive what I will try to offer as the best price in the country. I'm working with you or your listeners for having the wherewithal to listen to me for an hour. I will do my darndest to give your listeners the very best price in the country from the only major licensed and bonded company, perhaps in the United States. It's a federally non-regulated industry, but in Minnesota, we are licensed. I live in Florida, but my corporate office is in Minnesota. And you can send us an email at info@milesfranklin. Say, I saw you on the Rich Dad Radio Show. We'll send you a current inventory. We'll answer any of your questions. And it would just be a delight and an honor to chat with the people out there who follow you so closely. So milesfranklin.com, the new website's a couple weeks away. Bear with us on the old one. You cannot see prices on the old one, but you'll find by asking for a price sheet, we're amongst the very, very, very best priced in all of North America.
Okay. I'll ask you a real simple question. I just want a yes or no. Okay. Because I get into arguments all this time with certain individuals. And he's saying you should buy U.S. Treasuries, U.S. bonds. Yes or no?
Absolutely not. I know that individual. And why would anyone buy a bond paying 3% interest against 9% inflation? It's a guaranteed certificate of confiscation. You're going to lose 6% compounding guaranteed. And he's a smart man. I'm not going to throw arrows, but I will simply say to you that, gold and silver don't pay any interest, but it sure beats the hell out of negative 6%. So I think, no, that income is important, Robert. There's no question. But income that renders you real negative isn't, and that's not the right way.
Right. So I'll ask her to send you that interview I have with this individual. You and your dad can laugh. It's good entertainment because I went toe-to-toe with him on this one. But he's a smart dude. Anyway, thank you very much, and thank you all for listening to Rich Dad Radio. And we'll come back for the final words. So thank you again, Andy Scheckman.
Been a true honor.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
I mean, we'll be right back. Welcome back, Robert Kiyosaki, the Rich Dad Radio Show. I want to really thank Andy Scheckman, president and founder of Miles Franklin Precious Metals. One reminder, Rich Dad, we don't offer anything for sale. We just basically provide information. And my definition of intelligence is Andy Shechtman is a very intelligent man because I agree with him. And we both agree who the idiot is out there recommending you buy bonds. I mean, I can't believe this stuff. When interest rates are, I mean, when inflation is running at 8 to 16%, why would you buy a 3% bond? I mean, it makes no sense to me. Anyway, so I want to thank Andy Shechtman. And again, we make no recommendations. Final words there?
I just loved the way Andy lays it out in those markers, right? It makes it very easy in a timeline linear event to see where it feels like we're headed for something big. And he clearly has studied all of this. The one thing I just want to question, and this comes off the tail of an end of us studying Brent Johnson's latest interview, is if his theory comes true that all of these nations become part of BRICS, the dollar is toast, what happens to the euro dollar system? And I wish we had more time with Andy, and maybe that's something we can talk to about later, because that came up in our meeting this morning was, you know, all of these nations own or have dollar denominated debt. What happens? Does that just mean they're paying back the debt with cheaper dollars? And yay for them and bad for us? That's a question I'd like to ask in a future interview.
Yeah, it's the same question I have. Basically, he's saying is those dollars just come flying back to America. And that's why part two of the Jay Martin interview is very, very important. Not that we have the answers, but you'd be prepared to do something differently. Because you think there's 8 billion people on planet Earth. Probably the 200,000 listening to us today are more highly educated than 8 billion. I mean, we're in serious trouble.
Yeah.
They have no idea what's happening with money, but that's why Rich Dad was created. You know, years and years ago, I read a book by Buckminster Fuller, The Grunch of Giants. It's how our wealth is stolen via our money. And that's why the Rich Dad Radio Show, Rich Dad was created. So we have to learn about money, and you can do very well. But if you are ignorant, just hoping that, you know, Biden and Kamala Harris will save you, I think you're in serious trouble. So anyway, can you give them the links to Jay Martin's two
shows? Yeah, I'll include, just for the viewers on YouTube and the listeners on the podcast, I'll include the links to both of those interviews in the description.
And our company has listened to it three
times.
Yeah,
we're studying it too, right alongside of you. And we have, we feel like this interview that Andy did with Jay Martin, who's a great friend of the show, was probably the most educational, eye-opening interview that we've studied in a long time. So I just, and like Robert said, it's not the answer, and it's just he's presenting a different view that we've not heard before, and it's worth taking a listen to because it is shocking and scary. But if you're positioned well, it doesn't really matter what happens in the end, but it's great to know.
It could be the best thing that ever happened to you, yep. This crash coming. Unfortunately, there's 8 billion people who aren't prepared for it. That might be another problem.
So we know the Rich Dad listeners are safe because they've studied this. But anyway,
thank you guys, and thanks for listening to the Rich Dad Radio Show.
Thank you.